Okay, so we're in our series, Praying Like Paul. This is lesson 21, Being Strengthened. And so we've moved through this prayer in Colossians chapter 1, verse 9 through 12. And each one of these phrases has a lot of power and a lot of implication behind it. And we know Paul just prayed it. He didn't explain it. Just like Jesus said a lot of things, but he didn't explain them. And sometimes it's up to us to search the scriptures, to find the balance, to find the body of the outline that he gave. And so Jesus' words were powerful and direct, but sometimes we got to search Old Testament, New Testament, those things to find the fullness of what Jesus was meaning. So also with Paul. Maybe even a little more complicated. But again, Paul based a lot of what he was saying on things from the Old Testament, and if we don't know what's in the Old Testament, we can't understand those things. But also, Paul was basing a lot of things he said on things he'd written to other churches, things that he knew that God had given him. And so we read his words, but then we need to fill in some of the body of the letter. And that's why it takes us longer to teach than it takes him to write it. And so he probably wrote this, you know, in just half a minute. But it's got a lot of stuff in it. So we've been looking at how we can fill out what it is that Paul was desiring for these churches as he prayed for them. And again, the idea behind Paul praying was that he was calling on God to do what he couldn't, and we call on God to do what we can't. And so that's the meaning behind this. Yes, God wants us to do these things, and sometimes he says we have these things, but how do we know what we got? How do we know how to apply it? How do we know what it reaches to and the dimension of all those things? So that's one of the prayers we'll be getting into next is Paul's prayer in Ephesians chapter 3 about how great is the love of God. And so we'll be looking at all these things. And in this prayer, Colossians chapter 1, verse 9, I've termed this the most pastoral of Paul's prayers because it's really his interest in the people and his heart for the people, his desire for his people comes through this prayer, I think, in more ways than in most of the other of his writing and his other prayers. He wants these believers to live the fullness of Christ through them. He wants them to walk in a manner that is worthy of the Lord, that is showing what God has done, not trying to earn, but demonstrating what God has done in their life. And he wants them to be pleasing to the Lord. That doesn't mean we're not pleasing. We are. God ordained us so. We are, you know, his own. We are his heart's desire. We are his very own children. But if you have children, I know maybe one or two of them are not always pleasing to you. Maybe you can reflect back on your own life. How pleasing were you to your parents? Well, we won't talk about that. But so God wants us to live a life that is pleasing. God gave Adam and Eve everything. They had everything. They didn't even have the nature of the flesh. But they didn't live a life that was pleasing to God. So the life that they lived was not because of God's failure. It's because they didn't draw from what God wanted them to have. And so that's also for us as believers. And so Paul's prayer is that these believers will be able to be strengthened, which is what we're going to talk about today, that they'll be able to walk in a manner that's pleasing to the Lord. It's not an automatic. Just because we're saved doesn't mean that everything we do is pleasing to the Lord. It doesn't mean that we will automatically do things that please him. Sometimes we don't even know what it is that God wants to do to please him. But God will reveal it. And he'll reveal it by his Spirit. He reveals it with his word. But still we have to apply those things. So Paul is praying for these believers. Let's read the prayer again. Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 through 12. And so from the very day we heard of your faith and love, we have not ceased to pray for you. So all of this is Paul's prayer. He says, I've been praying for you every day. Now, you could say, yeah, well, you know, I said I prayed every day, but I didn't really. God was inspiring Paul to write this. So if Paul said he prayed every day, then he what? He prayed every day. So he said, this is what I'm praying, asking that you may be filled, not that you are filled. I know we like to read through this and make it into a confession, but it's not, it's a prayer. Asking that you may be filled. I know I've got the Spirit. I know I have his knowledge to a degree. But do I know what to do about this very situation, this very problem that is in front of me right now? I need the knowledge of the Lord. And so I need to know what it is that I need to do to fulfill his will. How do I receive that? In all spiritual wisdom and spiritual understanding. I'm drawing from him, not from me. This is not my wisdom, thank God. It's not my understanding, because a lot of things I don't understand. But he does. And he can give me that. And he does this so that we may walk, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. That means it's not automatic. So as, meaning that it's what you can have, but it's not automatically what you do have. And I want to be walking worthy of him. I want to walk in such a manner that shows what he has done in me. That is a demonstration of all that God has done in me. But I'm not always doing that. And when I do, I'm fully pleasing him. That's what he wants. And so I want to do that. There are things that we do in our own natural life to please others. We know it will please them for us to do these things. And so we sometimes do things that, you know, it's like, well, it's not necessarily my nature, but I know it will please other people. And so we do it. Fully pleasing him, doing what? Fully pleasing him means that I'm bearing fruit in every good work. I like to say, well, in Jesus' name, I'm bearing fruit in every good work. Yeah, well, that's a nice idea, but are you? What's the reality? I want to be able to bear fruit. Now, this is not the fruit of the Spirit. This is the fruit of living a Christian life under the pressure of this world. We still live in this world. And we need to live out this power that God has placed in us, which is what we'll talk about in this session. Being strengthened. So not only do I want to walk in a manner that is pleasing to him, I also want to walk in a manner that is being strengthened, that is drawing from his strength. Being strengthened with all power, according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy. Verse 12, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. So that will be our subject for our next lesson. But today, let's look at this middle point, verse 11, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might for all endurance and patience with joy. So as Paul is talking about, as he's praying for them, telling them what he prays for them, not necessarily just these words. These are the, I could say, the outline for what he's going to pray. But he fills it in with the things that he knows they need for that time, that day. The things that God gives him to pray for them. You know, you pray for your family, you pray for a loved one, you pray for a friend. And God may give you one thing to pray today, but another thing to pray tomorrow. And so it is with Paul. He wants them to receive this strength. So here's the point, boil it down. Pleasing the Lord, walking in a manner worthy of him, pleasing him means that I'm also, what? Being strengthened. It honors God for me to receive his strength. Now, I know we could say, well, Jesus' name, I am strong in the Lord. Well, that's nice to say, but again, the word's in a passive verse. I'm being strengthened. And I know we don't see that because we don't read Greek. And we forget our English grammar. But passive voice means this is something that God is giving you, not something that you have and you're doing. I'm not strengthening myself. I'm receiving strength from him. So a literal reading of this, and I put this down there in your notes toward the bottom, being strengthened with all power. That's a strange phrase. The ESV translated it, being strengthened with all power. But if you want to look at the literal Greek, it means I am empowered with all his power. I am empowered with all his power. So let's break this down a little bit more. This multiplication of the Greek word dunamis, which is used as both those being strengthened and all power. And so the first is to be empowered, right at the bottom of your page. The word empowered in the Greek language means to having received a supernatural ability. We have received. It's a passive verb, again, something that is done to us, for us. We receive this from the Lord. So I'm receiving empowerment from him. I'm not empowering myself. I'm not being strong in my own flesh or my own ability, because how many know that will only go so far? We've all tried to do things in our own strength, and it might work for a little while, and then it doesn't. It might work for quite a while, and then it doesn't. It might not work at all. And so, you know, doing something in your own strength, you're trying to draw from your own ability, and that's not how God wants us to live. Amen. He wants us to live being strengthened from him. So it pleases God for me to be strengthened by him. To walk in a manner worthy of the Lord is to draw from the strength that he has for me, being strengthened in the Lord. And this ability comes from the Greek word dunamis, which in the New Testament, we apply dunamis to a supernatural power that comes from God. Supernatural power that comes from God. It's used in other ways in the classic Greek and practical Greek, but for us, this word means a supernatural power. It's the root for the word miracle. It's miraculous power. And so I want to receive miraculous power from him. I want to receive a miraculous power that enables me to do things that what? Please him. That help me walk in a manner that is worthy of the Lord. I want to draw from his power, because the things that please him, the things that I need to do to walk worthy of him, cannot come from me. It has to come from him. And so it comes from him. First of all, as we would say, because we have a Bible, from reading the scripture and seeing what those things are, but also drawing from his spirit. To walk in a manner worthy, being strengthened by him. What is God helping me to do? What power is available for me to meet this situation that is in front of me? How do I please God with this difficulty, this pressure, the situation that is before me? How do I please him? Number one, I draw from his strength. I receive his strength. And it doesn't mean it's one time. It's a present tense verb. Now, I know you just love that. But present tense means it's something that is ongoing. I received it yesterday, but am I receiving it today? I received it an hour ago, but am I receiving it right now? And so this being strengthened is a ongoing process that will end when? When we get to heaven. Because we will be fully made in his image and likeness. Glory to God. But right now, we live in this body. and this body and this mind don't always do what God wants them to do. Okay, that applies to me. Maybe it doesn't apply to you. But I'm not always doing those things that I know please God. And sometimes I don't even know what pleases Him. With the situation that I'm facing, what pleases Him? How do I walk worthy of the Lord through this situation that I'm facing? I want to live out what He has done in me, but the world and the pressure and the things against me are trying to force me to not walk that way, to walk in my own strength and my own ability. And I try to solve my problems myself instead of drawing from Him, instead of walking in this manner, being strengthened, meaning I'm drawing from this dunamis, this supernatural ability God puts within us, but it's an ongoing, just because I had it yesterday doesn't mean I'm using it today. Now I know you're going to say, well, I'm strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Yes, that's true. But are you being strengthened in this situation that you face? Yeah, I am obedient, right? We're obedient all the time in every situation? Not always. So this ability is that I draw from His strength. Now, the next point, because I'm walking in a manner worthy of Him, I'm receiving this strength, empowerment, that's the word I use. In fact, when I was teaching on power and the work of the Holy Spirit, I made my own word up. You know, Paul made up words, so I can make up words. I call this being endunamized, because it comes from the word dunamis. So to be endunamized or empowered, right? So that's a Jeff word. If you don't like it, don't use it. But walking worthy, Lord, I'm endunamized. I'm drawing from this power that He makes available. Am I using it? It's available to me, but am I using it? And if I'm walking worthy, I'm drawing from His strength. If I'm not drawing from His strength, there's no way that I can walk worthy of Him. There's no way that I can be pleasing to Him if I'm not drawing from His strength. Now, then Paul modifies this with this word, with all power. I am not only empowered, I'm empowered with power. Paul, what are you talking about? Your grammar teacher would probably mark that with red. I'm empowered with power. But the empowerment is a passive thing that I am receiving. The power here is a display of that. I am empowered with all the power to display what God has done. I am drawing from His strength with all the power that He makes available. It's not with all my power, it's all His power. And so the idea of this is that the power that we receive is not limited, is with all power. It's nice to know that God empowers us to do a work of service for the Lord. And so we are empowered, equipped to do a work of service. But with all power means it's not limited to that. It's also limited to many other things in your life. It's unlimited with all power. And so I'm receiving this power, being strengthened. And what is this power? It's all the power that I need. It's all the power that is necessary. It's all the power that I need to get through this situation. It's one thing for me to say I have His power within. It's another thing to know that that power will deal with the situation I'm facing. That I don't have to make this up. I don't have to pretend. I don't have to, make it work All I have to do is draw from it. The power I need, he's going to, again, he's going to expand on in the next two phrases. So with all this power, it's the ability to exercise his ability over situations. I thought of these two verses. And this verse says it's all power. Philippians chapter 4, verse 13 uses the same word, in dunamis, through the one who strengthens me, through the one who has empowered me, and the one who is the empowerment that I need. I can do all things through the one who empowers me in every situation. It's just like the light switch. There's electricity in the wires, but if I don't turn it on, it's not being displayed. And so the power is available. Am I showing it? Am I demonstrating that power? And so Paul says, I can do all things through the one who strengthens me. It doesn't say I can do all things. It doesn't say that, does it? I can do all things, what? Through him who strengthens me. It doesn't even say I can do all things only through what? Through him. I can do all things through him. And because I am in Christ, and because I am drawing from him, I am sufficient for every situation. I can operate through everything. I am sufficient for every situation through the one who continuously empowers me. And so here I am drawing from that empowerment. I am not sufficient for every situation if I'm not drawing from him. Do you see that? And yet sometimes we say, I can do all things. No, you can't. Only through the one who strengthens you. That's the only way you can face these situations. And Paul specifically in this passage is making reference to his ability to draw from God's abundance. That Paul says, I have known what it is to be poor and I know what it is to be rich. And I have been abased and I have been elevated. But this one thing I know, I am sufficient for every situation through the one who strengthens me. So just because I don't have the abundance, I don't have what I need to get through this situation, we could say the financial supply, just because I don't have that doesn't mean I can't draw from God's provision. And so Paul says, yeah, I know what it is to be in lack. I know what it is to have no food. But I also know that I can do all things through the one who strengthens me. I can get through this. I can get through this. So that's how Philippians 4 uses the word. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 1. Paul uses this phrase in reference to his call to ministry. 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 12 says, I thank him, that is Christ, who has given me strength. In the Greek language, that's who has empowered me. The one who has endunamized me. I like that. I really do like that. So write that in your Bible. The one who has endunamized. Paul says, I thank the one who has endunamized me. And he goes on to talk about, because he found me faithful, putting me into the ministry. So Paul here is talking about his call to ministry. Paul says, I can't do this ministry without him. I can only do this through the one who has strengthened me. Because he counted me faithful before he put me into the ministry. That's a beautiful phrasing there. Because Paul says, I'm only here because God has given me this power and I've been faithful to use it. I can do all things through the one who has empowered me to do the work of ministry. And just because God gives you the power, you still have to be what? Faithful. You have to be faithful. Or you're not going to see it demonstrated. It's the same way God gives us power to live out our life before him. But you're not going to see it if you're drawing from your own power or ability, only as you draw from his supernatural power. Now, Paul goes on. The next phrase, he says, being strengthened with all power. And then he says, according to his glorious might. Pardon me. So, not only do I have this strength, this supernatural ability that God wants me to display in every situation, I am strengthened in every situation with all power, but it's also according to his glorious might. Now, the phrasing here is, the Greek word is might, comes from the Greek word kratos, which is our root for like democracy, plutocracy. C-R-A-C-Y, we spell it. The Greek is kratos. And it means ruling power, dominion. A democracy is the ruling power of the people. All right? An oligarchy or oligocracy is the rule of people with money. Right? A monarchy is the rule of one. All right? The dominion of one. So the idea here is that God rules. Is that true? He strengthens me with all might, with all the ability, with all the power, according to his glorious rule, his glorious dominion. And here what Paul is making reference to is the fact that the only things I have power over are the things that he has dominion over. I can't do things that he does not have dominion over. Now we could say, well, he's got dominion over everything. That's true. But it's not displayed at this time, is it? God's dominion over everything is not on display right now. And so God gives us the power to live our life, walk worthy of him, according to his glorious might, according to the things that he has given us rule over. I can do the things that he's given me power to do according to his rule. I can't do things that he has not given me the power to do. I can't change your life. But I can do what? I can change mine. Right? I can't rule our government, though I wish I could. Although I know I'm not smart enough to do it. I don't know how anybody would want to be president of the United States. Who wants that job? You can't do anything to please people. No matter what you do, somebody doesn't like it. Why would someone want to do that? You got to be crazy. But then, if you're crazy, I'm not sure I want you in that place. Anyway. I can't do things that I don't have rule. Now you say, well, God's given us rule over everything. No, he hasn't. Otherwise, this world would be perfect. And it's not. Because I could make it perfect. Right? Not for you. Because I would do away with salsa. That would be the first thing. Not the dance. Not the dance, but the substance. Because I don't like it, so I would, Yeah. No peppers, no onions, no tomatoes. Some of you couldn't live without peppers. Say, put pepper sauce on everything. On eggs, really? What? Pepper sauce does not belong on eggs. Don't put salsa on your eggs. That's an abomination. All right, so see, if I was ruling, you wouldn't like me. You wouldn't like me to be empowered. So, yeah. But I need to draw from his supernatural power, all the power that I need, for the things that he's given me rule over. The number one thing he's given me rule over is what? myself, my life. I have limited rule over things that are in this world. But he hasn't given me all rule, and you don't want me to have it, like I just showed. But so this is according to, and the word according to his glorious might is the word kata, K-A-T-A, just a little preposition, kata, which really means under the influence of. So he's given us this supernatural ability in every kind of power that we need under the influence of his dominion. Under the influence of his dominion. Now I know, God rules the world. That's what I just said. God sits supreme. He sits in authority over all the world, but it's not all perfect right now because he has not exercised that rule over everything. He will. He will. He will get rid of sin.
Yes, he will.
That's coming. He will get rid of the devil.
Yes, he will.
Oh, please.
Yes.
Today? Is that possible?
Possible?
He will bind up all those things. He will get rid of evil. But he hasn't yet. He'll get rid of all sickness and disease. But he hasn't yet. He'll get rid of all poverty and lack. But he hasn't yet. He will get rid of all war, anger, vengeance. He'll get rid of all of that. But he hasn't yet. And so we need to understand that whatever we're doing is still under the influence of his dominion. God has not given me supernatural ability to do everything. Only those things that are according to his rule and the rule that he has given me. I don't have rule over your household. I do over mine. Well,
maybe.
You know, saw a sign one time that says, yeah, I am the head of the house, but my wife turns the head.
That's
right. So, yeah, so the idea is that God has given us limited rule. And the purpose of this rule is what? To his glory. His glorious rule. And when we see his glorious rule, that brings honor to him. It brings what we're going to see in the next phrase, thanksgiving. It results in thanksgiving. When we see God's rule displayed, we give thanks to him. Whether it's a healing or a provision or a quieting of the situation that we're in or a changing of the trouble or the trial or the pressure that we're going through, whatever that is, when we see that rule demonstrated and his power flowing through us, we give praise. We're supposed to. Next week. And so this empowering, according to his, under the influence of his glorious rule, is for what? For all endurance and patience. So here's the last couple words we're going to look at. For all endurance and patience. These two words are related to the trouble in which we stand. Throughout the New Testament, these two words have to do with the trouble in which we face, the pressures that come against us. And the first one, endurance. Oh, by the way, our pressures come from Satan, the world system, and our flesh. The world, the flesh, and the devil. Yeah, those are big challenges. So those three things are the pressures that we face. Anybody ever face pressure from Satan? You feel like it's the devil is just against you? What about pressure from the world system, which includes sickness and disease and poverty and all those things? What about pressure from your flesh? Well, I'm not going to tell you mine, but yeah, our flesh pressures us. The flesh wants, but we need to rule over it. as Paul says. So what the word endurance? The Greek word for endurance. So this power that is according to under the influence of his glorious might is for all endurance. The Greek word hupomone. Hupo means under. Mone means to live or abide. We have to abide under the pressure until we see victory. And the word is consistently in the New Testament. Would you hear this? Although it says we need to abide under the pressure, it always is in reference to us standing there until we see victory. Staying under the pressure till we see the victory. It always leads to reward if we will honor God under the pressure. We may not see that pressure released till we get to heaven. But we stand under the pressure. I'm not going to try to squeeze out. Israel did that. They didn't want to endure the pressure of the new land, of the promised land. They didn't want to avoid that. So what did they do? They squeezed out. You know, it's like, I don't want to face the pressure, so take a sidestep. And they did. And when they did, what? 40 years before they got back in. And most of them never did. So this idea of staying under the pressure. I use this illustration, and you've heard me with this before, but it's like weightlifting. You know, the guy who's lifting weights isn't under the weights for it to crush him. He's under the weight for him to push it off. Because only pushing it off builds strength. If you just lay under it, you got nothing. And you could say, I can't deal this, so I went out from under it. But until you push it off, you won't see victory. You won't be strengthened. You're not going to be increased. So the pressure from the world, Satan, our flesh comes against us, and we stand under it until we see victory. I'm going to push against this as much as it's pushing against me, but I've got the power of God working through me, and I am going to see victory. I'm going to see victory. Although right now, I'm under the pressure. So that's the idea of endurance. And it's used in that way every place that it's used in the New Testament. It has to do with staying under the pressure till we see victory. To endure. Now the next word, patience, is a Greek word, makrothumia. I know that's fun. Macro comes from our word, or is macro, long. Large. Thumia, to the end. Some of it could be exercised as anger, vengeance. And so patience is long suffering, forbearance. Now, this is not the word that's used in reference to being patient with other people. This word is always used as being long suffering against situations, pressures from the outside. Things that come against us, the world, the flesh, and the devil. Those things that are constantly coming against us. We are long-suffering, forbearing. It goes together with that word, hupomone. I am enduring sometimes a long time. How many of you have been under pressure for a long time? Still looking for the victory. Still believing for the victory. I haven't seen it. I'm under the pressure. It's long suffering. With all endurance, staying under the pressure, and enduring for a long time. Till I what? Till I see the victory. I might not see the victory till I'm in heaven. But I'm going to stay under it. We're never going to be freed from the pressure of this world system. Never. But I'm going to stay under it until I see the victory. And it is totally removed. Where there is no sickness, there is no disease, there is no pain, there is no suffering, there is no lack, until I am fully alive in Christ. And all those things have been removed. So this macrothumia and this endurance work together. I am drawing from the strength that God gives me, doing so in a way that honors Him, under the dominion that He has given to me with brings glory unto his name. And I will endure, I will stay under this until I see the victory, even if it takes a long time. Some things happen quick. It's here and it's over. Other things go on and on and on. But I'm going to do what? I'm going to stay under. Sometimes people get discouraged. Well, because it hasn't gone away. Long suffering. And by the way, isn't that one of the fruit of the Spirit? Yeah, it's one we don't talk about very much. Long suffering. It's in there. And it is those things that I use against the systems of the world, the flesh, or the devil. Long suffering. And then I do this, final phrase, is with joy. Okay, there's the problem. I'm not just staying under it. I'm not whining and complaining. When are we going to get there? How long, O Lord? I don't like it. With joy. We do all this with joy. Why? Classic verse on this, James chapter 1, verse 2 and 3. Count it all joy. Yippee! I'm going through pressure. Woo-wee! Yeah. Happy for the pressure. No, I'm not happy for the pressure. I'm happy for what? For I know. If I don't know what follows, that the testing of my faith produces steadfastness or endurance, that's the Greek word, endurance. If I don't know that it produces endurance, then I cannot count it joy. I'm going to complain. I'm going to whine. I'm going to be angry. I'm going to blame God. I'm going to blame you. I'm going to blame the world. I'm going to blame everyone. But I'm supposed to do it with joy. With joy means I am going to draw from God's peace and joy that is within me. The idea of joy is something that is a focused attention to what is not related to what's on the outside. Joy is not happiness, because I may not be happy about what I'm going through. And sometimes that's maybe what you see. It should not be what's in my words, but I should reflect joy. I know I'm going through this. I know this is a difficult time. I know these things, but you know what? The joy of the Lord gives me the strength I need to overcome these things. My joy in Him. Jesus endured the cross. How? With joy. So I can get through this. And I'm going to count it all joy because I know. I know I'm going through pressures and trials and tribulations. That's the things that follow when you meet trials of various kinds. The Greek word means many colors. When you face these trials and pressures of many colors, you know what? I know one thing. The testing of my faith. Now here's my one point. I got to get this in. Notice it's the testing of your faith. It's not the testing of you. Don't put yourself out there. Use your faith. Why? Because faith is a shield. He's given us the shield of faith. Amen. To quench all the darts of the enemy. And so, if I try to have this joy in myself, in my strength, in my ability, I'm not going to get through. Because it's not testing me. It's testing my faith. And I can count it joy because I know that the testing of my faith generates endurance. It will produce, it will generate, that's what the word produces, steadfastness or endurance. I can get through this. I'm going to get through this. And I'm going to get through it with joy. Maybe not happiness, that's not the point. The point is drawing from the joy, I know I'm going to get through this. I am looking to what's coming at the end, not what I'm going through right now. And so this is the idea of joy. And we count it joy because we know that we will endure. We can get through if we draw from God. Now, what is the point here? The point is Paul's praying for these believers to have this. It's not like they already have it. So please, I just ask you, don't turn this into confessions. Turn it into prayer. Pray these things. Paul did. And if he wrote it down for us as a form of prayer, then we should see it as a form of prayer. That doesn't mean I'm not recognizing these things that God has given me, but I'm also praying that they will work and operate in my life. Because I'm calling on God to do what I can't. Every one of these things I can't do in myself. I can only do through Him. All right, so this will bring us to our subject for next week, which is giving thanks. So, Father, we just thank you for the truth of your word. We thank you, Father God, that you have given us...